So I would like to introduce His Grace Madhavi Prabhu, also he is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and very fortunate to have him here in Cape Town. Actually, as most of you may be aware, this temple was in the early days developed by His Grace Madhavi Prabhu and his good wife, Lalita. Actually, before even the temple was acquired, he was traveling here in Cape Town, raising funds for Shishi Vadavarna's Mandir, a beautiful temple in Chatsworth. So also a very long-standing devotee, and someone who we owe a great deal of gratitude to here in Cape Town. His Grace Madhavi Prabhu.
So, as Gopalesh Prabhu mentioned, Maharaj was and is still involved in a wonderful temple in Vrindavan, the Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Mandir. So I had the good fortune recently to attend the 40th anniversary of the opening of the temple there, and listen to the trials and difficulties the devotees encountered or endured while trying to construct the temple there for Srila Prabhupada. So that's an amazing story. But it didn't end with the opening of the temple. That was just the first part. That's the creation. That is not so easy. That's not easy, but that's not the most difficult thing. The most difficult thing is to maintain. So Srila Prabhupada traveled a bit and then came back to Vrindavan some months later. And he was increasingly determined that the ISKCON Vrindavan temple be managed and run in an exemplary way. And many devotees attempted to serve Srila Prabhupada that way, and there were some results there. But practically speaking, from my own understanding, my own limited understanding, that Srila Prabhupada and his GBC body were only really satisfied when His Holiness took charge there and overcame so many difficulties, so many weeds, chopped down some weeds that were growing there, and enabled the real creeper of devotion to grow there, so much so that you go to Vrindavan now and it's always, of course, it's Sri Vrindavan Dham. But the mentality of the devotees, the service of the beautiful deities there, it's all exemplary, as I'm sure Srila Prabhupada is pleased with. So Maharaj was one of the persons who enabled that development to become established and to grow. He was speaking this morning also about the fact that he's not particularly fond of managing But it's something that he does very well. So he's accepted that duty at the request of the governing body commission to oversee developments and progress there. So it's no small thing. It's something very wonderful, actually. For myself, I'm 2 years physically older, and maybe 5 years ISKCON historically older. But I consider, and I hope Morris doesn't feel offended, I consider Morris my spiritual superior. And if he offers his obeisances to me, then I must offer in return. Otherwise, I think that Lord Nityananda Balaram will come off the altar and find a kusha grass somewhere and dispose of me, because he's such a wonderful devotee. And there's no question. Whenever he speaks, he always brings a very interesting, often humorous aspect of the philosophy to enliven the devotees. Of course, devotees will all speak up and mention his ecstatic kirtans. That goes without saying, practically. Maharaj really knows how to pump it up. So, full speed ahead. So, I just personally want to say, I don't want to take so much time. I just want to thank Morris very much. As Kokilesh Prabhu mentioned, Morris comes here often, and I sure hope I don't jinx that, because we're very, very, very fortunate that Morris comes and visits us here. So, personally, I want to thank Morris very much for kindly coming and visiting us here in Cape Town. And I'd like to thank him very much for his kindness and his friendship, which I value extremely more than anything. Kadamakana Maharaj ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada
ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very
much. While Cape Town is known as the Mother City, it is kind of at the end of the world, and it takes some getting here. But we have the godbrother here is also from Australia, so Maharaj makes an effort to travel to the end of the ends of the world, forgotten ends, all the way at the Mother City. We really appreciate that. And so now I would like to invite His Grace Jordan Mohanprabhu, who is our temple president. And even though Cape Town is at the end of the world, this is still Srila Prabhupada Center, an important part of ISKCON. And he's been running this temple so wonderfully for over 6 years now, which is in itself no small feat. I think that's saying more than anything about the type of person he is. So his way is Chajan Mahaprabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, I was thinking what to say. Usually when I have to speak off the cuff, I don't do that well, so I wrote something down. One thing I was just remembering now is that I think it was Isaac Newton who once said that you know, if I'm able to see further, it is because I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. And, you know, I feel the same way, that whatever activities we do here in ISKCON, whatever we do in Cape Town, it's because of devotees like yourself who have laid a foundation for us and made it so easy to actually engage in devotional services. The hardships that the devotees went through to establish ISKCON in the early days. So we appreciate those efforts. Just like Medhavi Prabhu was mentioning one time to me that when they were building a project in Mayapur, so as the gundas, not to steal the steelwork, the devotees would sleep on the steel just to keep them safe like that. So that's the kind of austerities that you and the devotees went through, just so that we can enjoy a wonderful ISKCON today. So I'd like to just read something for you. So I remember reading somewhere that Srila Prabhupada said that the real worship of a guru is not just offering some flowers and eulogy, but is it to accept the instructions of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. So I'm unable to offer you any direct service, but I offer you my attempt at devotional service in Cape Town. So for the past 7 years, myself and many devotees, dedicated devotees, have tried to serve ISKCON Cape and the devotees as best we can. So I offer my service as an offering to you. The longer I reflect on preparing my offering to you, the more I see my inadequacy to glorify you. I'm unable to offer you appropriate and meaningful praise, but I felt that there's some qualities that I see within you that I'd like to bring out. So this is my limited attempt to glorify you. So these are some of the qualities I see. The most selfless thing I see, how you have completely surrendered your life to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, selflessly traveling the world, preaching Krishna consciousness. The most loving thing I see is how you love, tolerate, forgive, and never give up on anyone. The sweetest thing I've seen is that you give your personal association with such love and kindness. The most inspiring thing is to hear you chant kirtan, and we get the slight taste of the holiness. The most pleasing thing I've seen is to have received your affection. The most amazing thing is your boundless energy to spread the holy name around. And the most merciful thing, you take a special interest in inspiring devotees here in Cape Town. So thank you very much for coming to Cape Town and inspiring the devotees, and especially helping me and encouraging me to continue. His Holiness Kedamakanand Swami Maharaj Ki.
Jai!
So, historically, there's been some tension between the English and the Dutch. And there's a special rasa that Kedamakanand Swami shares with is Vaishnavan and Krishna. But I think only the two of them can really fully appreciate. But I think
I'm not sure if it's the two, but I definitely.
But by extension, we also do. The forgotten Dutch that are left back here in South Africa, with the comm base that actually belongs on a ship and not in a house. So, actually, I would like to invite His Grace Srila Ananda Krishna to move forward. He is also well from England, but very long here in Cape Town with his good wife, Mother Pramodina, and very much respected devotee here in Cape Town, known for his strong preaching and especially for his willingness to do the service of educating the devotees here. We very much appreciate it. So, Shalom Krishna.
Om Jnanatinandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunam Militam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Dear Kadamakanda Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Your Holiness. In our beloved ISKCON, there is a great need of good example and good leadership. As grassroots devotees, we need heroes to look up to, heroes we can follow. It seems to us that Your Holiness is one such leader, one such hero that we can look up to and follow. When Srila Sanatana Goswami came to Jagannath Puri from Vrindavan to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he travelled through the Jarakanda forest. Due to fasting and drinking bad water, he developed sores on his body and therefore concluded that his body was unfit for devotional service. He further reasoned that due to the condition of his body, he would not be able to go to the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed for fear of contaminating the servants of Lord Jagannath. He therefore decided to commit suicide by throwing himself under the wheels of Lord Jagannath's Rath cart during the Rath festival. Having decided this course of action in this way, he went to the residence of Srila Haridas Thakur. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there with his associates, and Haridas introduced Sanatana Goswami to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then forcibly embraced Sanatana Goswami, in spite of his reluctance due to his diseased condition. The Lord told Sanatana Goswami that it was very good that he had come to Jagannath Puri, and he should stay with Haridas Thakur. Every day the Lord would come, bringing prasadam from the Jagannath temple, and would stay there with them for some time to discuss topics of Lord Krishna. One day the Lord suddenly started to speak to Sanatana Goswami, rebuking him for wanting to commit suicide when he had so many purposes he wanted to fulfill through the Goswami's body. After informing Sanatana Goswami of his intentions in this way, the Lord got up and left. Haridas then praised Sanatana Goswami, telling him of his great good fortune that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had so many plans that he wanted to perform through him, whilst he lamented that his own body could not be used for the service of the Lord. Hearing this glorification, Sri Sanatana Goswami responded by telling Haridas that he was so fortunate to be one of the Lord's associates and that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had chosen him to teach the importance of chanting the holy name. Sri Sanatana Goswami then informed Haridas Thakur, Apane acharikeha nakare prachara prachara kane nahena nakane nachara achara prachara namenaka raha duikarya tumi savaguri tumi jagatiraya. Some behave very well, but not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness, whereas others preach but do not behave properly. You simultaneously perform both duties in relation to the holy name by your personal behavior and your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in the world. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Anti Lila 4, verses 102 and 103. Seeing your wonderful dedication to the preaching mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, we are so much reminded of Sanatana Goswami's glorification of Haridas Thakur. You are simultaneously preaching so wonderful and teaching by example. You are executing the Dharma of Sanras Ashram so nicely by travelling so widely and teaching everyone about the glory of Lord Krishna's devotional service and the importance of the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. You are setting such a wonderful example of what it means to dedicate one's life to the service of the Lord. Therefore, you are one of ISKCON's heroes, someone we can look up to and try to emulate a little. We, the devotees of Cape Town, feel so grateful to you that you bestow so much mercy upon us. We pray that we'll continue to do that. We pray that you'll continue to come here and give us your transcendental and inspiring association. You are, without doubt, one of ISKCON's inspirational heroes. Your servant, Shyamala Krishnadas, and Prabhupada Devadasi. Sarnas Kram Kham Namaraj Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.
It's nice to see you here in Cape Town. I've had the fortune of meeting you in many different places in the world at different temples. But Cape Town is nice because it was at this temple that I met you for the first time in 2003. And I moved here when I was 17 years old and I stayed for 12 years and many significant things happened while I was here, but the city will always hold a special place in my heart because it's where I met you. There's so many amazing qualities of yours, Guru Maharaj, that I could attempt to glorify today. But I just wanted to focus on your kindness, your generosity, and how much you care for everyone. On Tuesday night, we had a disciple gathering in Johannesburg, and you were talking about Vaishnava generosity, and you said that Vaishnava generosity is not about giving what you have, it's about giving yourself. And you glorified Srila Prabhupada and how he was exemplary in that. But you follow in his footsteps, and you always give so much of yourself. In the last month, I followed you a bit around South Africa, since Ram Nomi or so. And wherever you've gone, there's just so many people that want to see you, and there's so many programs, and you very selflessly surrender to that. And after South Africa, this tour in April, you usually go over to Radhadesh. And when you go to Europe, they haven't seen you for months, so everybody's excited there, they have all these things planned for you. And I was thinking, it was, I think, 2013, after the Queen's Day, we got back to Radhadesh at 1 o'clock in the morning. And this was having lift at 5 a.m., and did Harinam from 11 to 7 p.m., and then driving back to Radhadesh and getting there at 1. And the same later that same morning, you gave the class, and you were out and about bidding farewell to all the devotees. I think I came out of my room at 9 o'clock, and everything was over, and most of us had slept in. I don't think we even got a recording of the class that day, but it's just an example of how much you give of yourself to everybody else. Then I was thinking about this conversation that we had in Mayapur in December 2013, and you were busy with that report for the Mayapur Master Plan, and you were telling me about that, and I asked if you'd consider staying on full-time and seeing the project to completion. And you said, no, you couldn't do that because now you have disciples and you need to care for them and you need to travel around the world. So that was a very deep statement for me because it showed your commitment to this guru-disciple relationship. So thank you very much for putting us first. Also on Tuesday night, you spoke about how the spiritual master is an anchor and he offers all the support to disciples. But you encourage us to be independently thoughtful. And you wanted us to fly our own planes, as you said. So I was thinking about that in with respect to my life in Bloemfontein. I know you don't consider that the best place in the world for me to be. But I won't live there forever. But living in Bloemfontein makes me feel closer to Krishna, because that's all I have, you know. And I have to fall back on everything I've learned to survive there. And we do have a devotee family, and we've got Giriraj, Nishigari, Shila, Gurnitai, so I do get some opportunities for service. But after I moved, a few months later when I saw you, you wanted to know who all my friends were. And I had to give you a description of each one, and you were approving if they were okay with that, because in Bloom I have more non-devotee friends than devotee friends. So thank you for caring so much. And as much as you said that you want us to be independent and strong, when we are weak and falling apart, you're still there. I'm thinking of last year, you know, I had a really difficult time with health issues. I had three operations during the year. And emotionally it was difficult to be sick, because it makes you feel so defeated, and it's hard when you feel so helpless, especially because I like to do everything for myself. But you gave me so much encouragement, you know, you were telling me to always remember Krishna, that if we add Krishna to any situation, it will become magical, it'll pass, it's just karma needed to burn. And you tell me, just get better. It was like an order, you know, just get better. And it made a huge difference in giving me strength during that time. So I'd like to thank you for all the things you do for me. And I'm even more grateful for all the things you do that I'm not aware of. Maybe one day I'll understand the position of Guru and develop some genuine appreciation. And my desire is that I can serve you wholeheartedly. And you know, now it's easy to say as a disciple to belong to the spiritual master, but when you work from 8 to 5 every day, there's not much left to give of yourself. But there was one day, one incident that happened that was really nice. It was January 2010. It was here in Cape Town. You were coming for the Rath Yatra, and somehow your arrival details went astray. And I knew that you were coming from Germany, so you'd have been on one of two flights. So I went to the airport in time for the arrival of the earlier one. But as fate would have it, you were on the later one. So I just sat and waited. And when you came through, I was really happy to see you. But I just said, you know, I wasn't complaining. I just said, I'm sitting here for 4 hours waiting for you. And you told me, oh, that's all right. And you totally dismissed it. And I was really happy that you didn't apologize, because I know you don't like inconveniencing people. But that day you didn't mind that I waited. And for once, at least, I felt as though I was your servant, and you accepted me that way. So I'll end with one last story. You spoke about how we should please the spiritual master so that he feels satisfied in his heart. But it's not what we want to do. And I was remembering how in Durban one time, a long time now, in the big temple room, in front of everybody, you said, in South Africa, every morning my disciples give me muffins for breakfast. That when the servant comes up the stairs, I know what it's going to be. And everybody in this temple room just turned to look at these disciples, you know. How could they do that? So the next morning, the disciples got together, and they made a whole basket of goodies, and they sent it up to Maharaj for breakfast. And guess what? She said, go in the muffins. and he said everything else back untouched. So sorry we got it wrong again. But we'll try. My constant prayer for your good health and safe travels. Your servant Raghu Dekha Devidasi. So in his Kalam Karamajki.
So one of Maharaj's first disciples was here in Cape Town.
Yeah, she's okay. There. It's just
all right. So, all the way from Australia. Well, is his Grace Harinamananda Prabhu, who is now doing a very amazing service, traveling all over the world, spreading the holy name. I can't imagine the sheer austerity of his service, but if any of you on Facebook, you see that that he, following in the line of Kadambakananda Swami, is also taking off. You'll see all these amazing you see all these amazing pictures of him at least 2 meters off the ground. I think if he played professional volleyball or basketball, he would be like, you know, Michael Jordan, or you know, one of these superstars. But he has such taste for the holy names, and it's something I appreciate very much about him. Thanks.
There you go.
No worries.
Dear Guru Maharaj, there's some helpful reasons. Where's the problem? You make me so happy. You make everybody so happy. Especially when you're chanting the holy name and dancing. I always think about the times where I get a chance for a few moments to chant and dance with you. One time I remember in Sydney before leaving Australia, so I got to spend a week with you. And I was missing a few high notes in Melbourne. It was such a nice time to spend with you before leaving Australia. And we came back from a program really late, and so me and Janadivas were sleeping in the same room. We woke up late and we opened the door, and he said, "Oh, Harinam, so today's your day." And I got a bit excited, I said, "Yeah," and had a little dance, and you joined in too, and me, you, and Janadivas were dancing around our beds. But for me, when I remember that, I always get extra inspiration to dance. This traveling around the world and doing Harinam, it's another thing altogether. Someone asked me, so you must be living a good life. And I thought it was living the dream, and now it's beyond something else. And certainly, purely by your mercy, you're inspiring me and pushing me and tricking me and and teasing me of how attached I am to this material world and my mundane desires. You're so expert in cutting through and saving me from it. It's only by your mercy we have such an opportunity to have such a blissful service. And one time in Prague you were giving a class and you were describing Gopa Kumar from Briha Bhagavatam Rita. He makes it to the spiritual world, and Krishna is so ecstatic to see him, he faints. And to wake him up, Gopa Kumar Sarupa, he chants the holy name in Krishna's ears, and then you asked us, where's the best place for Harinam, where's the best place to chant? Well, we said something, and he said, no, best place to chant is in Krishna's ear. Mm. But when I heard that, I was like, how are we going to... I was totally blown away. Begging, please don't stop showering your mercy upon us or me. Such a hopeless case. All I have is your mercy. That's all I have.
So as I was saying, one of Maharaj's very first disciples. Actually, he is a disciple, not a disciple of Jadwaya Maharaj. You know that Maharaj is in quite a unique position in that he has disciples while his spiritual master is still present. He's only his Jadwaya this one. But he also does that as a service.
We don't hear you.
Oh. So, yeah, one of Maharaj's first disciples. And, someone who has really taken care of so many of us, other disciples, offered us so much of care and affection and attention. I'd like to ask Agres Tamalini Devi Lassi to. Since we are on a bit of a tight schedule, I'm just going to ask the next devotees to be ready to come forward to do their offering so that it can happen a little quicker.
So I've been trying to find my offering, but no luck. I think I was sending it at 11:59 p.m. to Uddhava on the last day. And, so I did it directly online, and I don't have any attachments. I'm like looking at you, oh yeah, whatever. But anyway, it will be in the book.
I'll look for it. I'll find it.
Alright, so I just say something small. I'm sorry for the twist of the arm and but thank you.
You're happy, man.
I was thinking now, okay, I should just say something small, and, so something small would be the one, among many things, what was this, 2003, when we went to Mayapur, the first time I went to Mayapur, and you were there, but it was very different then because I was very new and very not so intelligent in some decisions. And so I went to my friend and I saw you there because I went to Bhakti Shastri and I was changing ashram and there were all sorts of things. And, our relation, there was some strain in our relationship, and the one time I remember after taking darshan in the temple, then you were speaking to me in the courtyard, and I was very sorry, but I didn't know, I was ignorant of how disciples should, you know, behave to the spiritual master, and I still am. I'm learning. But anyway, the one thing that really I hold in my heart from that day till now and forever is you told me that you'll never let go of me, and that's just like, and it broke me, but it's something that I always carry with me because it's that's, you know, the hope I have that, you know, that's my saving grace, that you'll never let go, and I thank you for that.
So everyone had attention for our temple commander. He's going to be so we'd like to invite him to come and say, we're very happy to have him here. It's having him here has given our temple new life, and I very much appreciate his wonderful association.
I'm not so good with these things. You know, I never...
Neither am I.
I'm always very nervous whenever I have to say something about, you know, marriage. Actually, as I was, you know, I was just telling Gokuleshpa that I'm not going to say anything because I never feel qualified, actually, to say anything about, you know, about my spiritual master, because I always feel that I'm so fallen, you know, and by His mercy, you know, I'm here, you know, and He's always showing me so much mercy. And I was, you know, remembering now, I was just reflecting on how, in I think it was 2003, I was just a very, you know, young and new devotee, actually, just a new bhakta in the temple in Pretoria. And Maharaj in those days used to come to the temple quite a lot. So in, I think it was in March, if I'm not mistaken, March or February, and Maharaj just came without really announcing to anyone. And he just called, he just let our temple president at the time that he's coming through. So he came and everyone was very excited. I didn't know anything about the guru, you know. And Maharaj was there and he led some very amazing, you know, ecstatic kirtans, Rimas Marini. So, and right after that, you know, then he stayed for about a week and he said, you know, and somehow I got to, you know, to talk to him for some, and I didn't even know, you know, the etiquette or anything like that. So, then just after he left, I started, you know, so many other gurus started coming. You know, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj came, Bhakti Chora Maharaj, Indradumna Maharaj came for the first time to Pretoria. We had some amazing kirtans. But somehow, I never really, you know, connected with, you know, with any of them the way I connected with Maharaj. So as a new bhakti, you know, I, as much as I didn't know much about, you know, a guru who's, you know, what's the position of a spiritual master, but when I heard that he's actually, you know, a guru or a spiritual master, I said, I remember saying to my temple president at the time, I said to him, oh, actually, you know, I really like this Maharaj, and, you know, I'd like him to be my spiritual master. So Arjuna just laughed, and, you know, that's what he was. But somehow he came again, I think a month later he came again. And, you know, that was, that desire that I had was, you could say, solidified. And in April, so just before we went to Ratha Yatra, on Maharaj's Vyasa Puja, yeah, it was mid, yeah, actually it was end of March at the time. And Arjuna said that, well, you said you want, you know, Kadavakana Maharaj to be your spiritual master. It's his birthday. He explained the whole thing, you know. And he said, maybe you should write something to him. So so I wrote to Maharaj with, yeah, my offering didn't, you know, could say the structure was not so fitting, you know, for a guru. But still, you know, I wrote something. And Maharaj just wrote a very short response and said, thanks. But in my offering, and in my offering, I also expressed how I would like Maharaj to actually become my guru. So shortly after that, I think about a week or two later, then we went to Durban, you know, for the first time. It was my first time going there, and in our temple, what we used to do is after Mangalati, we would have, we would chant one round together, you know, in a circle. So we did that, and just after we finished, then Maharaj came, you know, approached me, and he had a rose, and he gave it to me, and he said, oh, thank you very much for your offering, and we started talking. But what stood out for me was that from what I, you know, from what I observed as I was chanting, is that Maharaj, you know, he didn't even know, well, you know, from, you know, I was just this bhakta, but somehow he knew who I was, you know. And for me, that stood out, and I was very appreciative of that. And I would say that, you know, and Maharaj said that, yeah, well, you know, we can have some friendship and, you know, and take it from there. So, and from then onwards, you know, my service has always been to, you know, to be Maharaj's, you know, servant. And as you know, years went by, I remember saying to, I also mentioned this to Hari Namananda Prabhu yesterday when we were talking, and Maharaj walked in, and I had to just stop, you know, because I was explaining to him how, you know, we often hear that, you know, there's these, you know, different rasas or different melas that Krishna has or shares with his devotees, and that I'm very far from, you know, knowing who Krishna is or even understanding this, you know, this concept of the different relationships that, or individual relationships that Krishna has with his pure devotees. And I was saying to him that, and it's, you know, in the scriptures is also mentioned how a spiritual master is an external manifestation of Krishna, you know, a messy manifestation, and how actually this concept of Krishna having these individual relationships with, you know, different devotees, you know, I see it in my spiritual master, you know, and the more I spend time with him, the more this is becoming more and more clear to me. And the one other thing that I mentioned to him was that I can, you know, pinpoint these different, you know, relationships according to, you know, the scriptures, how one may have a servitorship kind of relationship with a spiritual master, which I feel that somehow, you know, I fit in there. I have, you know, that's the only thing that I can do, you know, just become a servant to him. And that sometimes, you know, it was very funny that, you know, we'd be sitting with Maharaj, this is, you know, back in the day, where we'll just be sitting in his room and be maybe some, especially Tolya Gopinath and I will be sitting there just talking. Or maybe he will be reading something. You know, all of a sudden, Maharaj will just like start pushing him around, you know. And the next thing, out of nowhere, you know, they will just start like wrestling in the room, you know, like that. And for me, it was quite, you know, bewildering, but at the same time, super sweet. And, you know, some disciples are there, but not there. You know, where you find that, you know, they're always just serving in the background, you know, but they do so much service. And, you know, whenever we'd be going and serving Maharaj, we'll always say, yeah, Maharaj, such and such did this, this one did this, you know. And the amount of appreciation that Maharaj has for each individual disciple is quite, you know, mind-boggling, actually. Because at the same time, he has to, could say, it's actually an austerity. I was saying that to him this morning when, you know, all these offerings, food offerings came through. And he said, yeah, well, it's not so good, you know, for me. But at the same time, you know, he still did it, you know. And what's amazing for me is the amount of so much worship, you know, that Maharaj gets. But at the same time, you know, the humility that he has is quite something, you know. So my, you know, you know, today I'd like to just appreciate how Maharaj is so personal as a spiritual master. Though he has so many disciples, he still gives all of us that, you know, he still has that personal touch, you know, and somehow he's very merciful to me, even, you know, before when I was, you know, going a little weird, you know, Maharaj was always there for me and always gave so much love to me. And for that, you know, I'm still here, you know, I'm still, you know, trying to go strong in my Krishna consciousness, because more than anything, I don't just see him as my spiritual master, but he's also my father, you know. I came into Krishna consciousness at a very, very young age, and Maharaj has always been, you know, my spiritual master, my father, more than anything else. And yeah, I'd like to just, you know, pray that Maharaj, please just, you know, shower me with your mercy, that somehow I may develop some, you know, attachment to the Holy Name and to your lotus feet. Hare Krishna.
So, unfortunately, the evening is going on, and out of some practical considerations, we're going to just adjust the program a little. So now we'll ask Maharaj to speak, and thereafter will be the Aarti and Kirtan, and the Lord will be put to rest. And then thereafter, those devotees will still have offerings, can make them. But I just like to humbly request that it is getting late and there isn't much time left. So if you could make your offering.
Make it a little longer. You know, till 8:30. I won't speak that long.
Okay. Should we can?
Yeah, till 8:30.
Okay. So.
I like to hear some devotees speak. It's nice.
So, there's still, can you just raise your hands how many devotees still want to speak to Santi? Kuran Prabhu? Mira? Jagashmi? I would ask five. Okay, so we have until 8:30. That's 15 minutes. Each one of you has 3 minutes. So we'd like to invite one of the forgotten Dutchmen. There's two of them, but he's a powerhouse. He burns like fire, and currently in Santon, but we're looking forward to having him back.
It's not very easy for me to appreciate devotees properly. While to speak of a pure devotee. It's not a very easy thing to see the good qualities in others when one is full of oneself. But yet, you have the opportunity. And I was wondering how to see these qualities. So I was thinking I can kind of look at the great Vaishnavas in our line, and then because you're representing this whole Sampradaya, in that way it's a bit easier for me to kind of identify some qualities, and I'm currently reading about these 64 qualities of Krishna and active devotion, so that's helping a bit. So the first ISKCON Swami that I met was in Stellenbosch University. It was Jai Prakash Maharaj, and a few months after that, it was you. But well, in those days, university, my mind was a little bit hazed, so I thought it was the same person. But I'll tell you why. It's because I felt that same energy. So, and because of that, I'm convinced that you are a transparent medium through which, you know, Jai Dvaita Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and the whole Sampradaya, Tilo Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is Goswamis, and ultimately to Krishna, and assisting the service. So that was very nice for me to see. So the first time I met you, I hadn't even practiced properly yet, but I just felt this attraction. I was thinking, no, I think you're my guru. And within the devotees, and also obviously in a very like typical fire fashion, and the devotees are like, okay, calm down, take it easy, okay, give it some time, hold your horses. But I was convinced that I kind of just tried to externally play it cool, but inside I was still feeling, no, okay, I don't know what they're talking about. But needless to say, some or other, you gave me shelter, and you gave me diksha and connection to this line. And now, that was a few years ago, and here I am, and here you are. And I have this very important connection with you. And I was thinking, what quality I like about which kind of I can discuss nicely with devotees. I think one thing that people want to agree with is that everyone likes you. No, on social media I had this tendency, not so much now, but before, to make statements which somehow or other attracts a lot of controversial attention. And some of them, you know, are not devotees, and some of them are like atheistic type of people, and there was this big clash. But and even some of them had animosity, but as soon as somehow they found out, like this one person, he said, "Who's your guru?" And I said, "Iskandar Khan, Swami." And he said, "Oh, you've got a very nice spiritual master." So even this person who's very inimical towards devotees, when he heard your name, he showed topmost respect. So I was thinking, what is he similar to? And I remembered the six Goswamis, they are described as Dhira Dhira Janapriya Priya, that they are favored by both the gentle and the rough because they are Virmatsaro. They are not envious of anybody. And therefore, it can only be understood that you are completely free of envy. Otherwise, how is it that everybody views you in such a favorable way? So I like that a lot. And whenever somebody asks me, tell me something about your spiritual master, I like to speak about that, because it's a thing that is very easily perceivable, and because you're also very accessible to devotees. Everyone can relate with that particular quality. And one other quality. Time is ticking, so help me. What to do? Is that before we had offered you, the Prana Mantra that we gave at last year's Vyasa Puja, I was thinking, maybe we should do something. I was thinking, what could it be? And then when I had heard in an email, they sent it to us and said, "What do you think?" I was completely amazed, because how it was completely describing how you had obtained this mercy of Lord Chaitanya by staying in the Dharma of Vrindavan and Mayapur, and as a dear servant of Srila Prabhupada, how you ceaselessly endeavor to make the entire world to taste that nectar. And therefore you're also like a Premamritam Bhoniti, that you are like an ocean of nectar. It's like you're completely submerged in this ocean of nectar, and wherever you're going, you're seeing people, and it's like you're saying, like, "Come on in, like, the water is perfect. What are you waiting for? It's amazing. Just come and taste this." So I was really touched by when I read this Prana Mantra. I could never have conceived like this myself. This glorification of you. So every time in the morning and at night, and if I remember to do the third offering, something in the day, so then I really, really chanting that Prana Mantra, thinking about how somehow or other you have given me this opportunity, and somehow engaged me in devotional service, because I'm a bit of a half-baked devotee. I'm still a little bit raw. So, but despite that, you're expert at engaging anybody who shows just a little inclination to wanting to do some service. So, even those who don't have inclination, somehow you can spark sometimes an inclination, and then you use that. So I'm very appreciative that not only have you attracted me to investigate more of this Krishna consciousness, but you've kept me here, and that you're pushing me forward, and that you're not allowing me to follow my mind, and that who knows how you do it, but you manage that, just keeping me inspired and fired up. This fire needs to be purified somehow. It has some value, but at the moment it's a bit explosive. But yeah. So my humble obeisances to you, Maharaj. Please continue connecting me with this ocean of mercy and nectar. And I pray that one day I may also fully taste this nectar and redistribute it to others. Hare Krishna. Gam Gam Raj Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
So Hari Vilas Prabhu is also one of the forgotten Dutch, and also serving Maharaj very nicely, expertly in many ways, as a secretary for some time.
So I remember one time, it was in 2011, when our Priyadna Dhamma Guru was still known as Dr. Rory, and we were in Grahamstown. And then we traveled through to PE one evening, we had a program there. And then it was quite something, because Grahamstown was also very, always very intense, and we got there, it was such a nice program, and then at the end, Rory was asking a question. And then you said something, and then Rory, he just blurted it out, and he just said, like, how can I please you? It's like at the end of the lecture, and it was such a sincere question. Everyone in the audience was like, wow, that was such a... it was just that's actually an important question to ask. And then you told him that you have to make this Krishna consciousness a lifelong endeavor. And I remember I was like, wow, that's really the core of it, because we have so many different things to think about. We have our material responsibilities, even our spiritual responsibilities, different services that we do. But at the end, that really just boils down to this one thing: how am I going to do this for my whole life? Because if I can do that, everything else is sorted out. And in the beginning, it seems so easy. It's just like sitting around four regular principles, and then we sort of, in the beginning of the Krishna consciousness, think, well, that's that. I just chant these 16 rounds. I follow these regular principles, and then I can do it whenever that I want to. Like Prabhupada used to say once, when he was chanting his rounds, and he was with Shruti Kirti, and then he chanted his last round, and then he looked at Shruti Kirti and said that, now I've finished my rounds, and I can do whatever I want. But obviously we realize that it's not so simple, because we realize as time goes by that we have to do many things to keep following the principles and chanting the 16 rounds. And if you, any ashram devotee will know that, have this experience. Sometimes you're in the ashram and then it seems like it's Vaikuntha. It's like everybody, all the devotees seem so amazing. It's just such an amazing experience. And other times you look around and you're like, God, this place is a prison. I have to escape. And then whenever I have this experience, then I just always listen to more of his lectures, because somehow or other it feels like you say so many different things in your lecture, but in every lecture somewhere there is something in there for that devotee is like struggling. Somewhere it's like in that lecture you speak to those devotees, you're like just maybe thinking, God, this is too difficult, and you sort of speak to the like a people swami, not speaking for people, anything that is ununderstandable, anyone can understand it, and it is so relevant, because that is the reality of where we are. And I was speaking the other day about the different phases of ISKCON. Like we went through the place of Srila Prabhupada this year, and then we went to the institutional phase, the phase of book distribution and strong management, and everybody just following the party line, and now we're in the Renaissance phase, where everybody's sort of doing whatever they want to, and the guru can only make suggestions and not really tell everyone what to do. And I was thinking that Maharaj, like, yeah, we have many amazing qualities, but one of them that I appreciate the most, and that is so relevant for the time which we live in, is just how cool you are. Just like as a person, it's so cool. The cool Swami. I think that, I mean, the technical term for it is maybe be this idea of purified naturalness that you oftentimes speak about, because on the one hand you're such an orthodox Swami, nothing, just if you go to the Wikipedia page, it's just Ganamakana Swami is an initiating guru in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and I mean, that is in one sense more just external identity, and you just keep to that, not doing a yoga preacher or anything else, just this pure and simple Vaishnava sannyasi. But on the other hand, even though it seems like such a narrow identity, but then you make it so broad just by your natural personality, how easy it is for you to relate to anyone. And I think in the era where
many people think that, yeah, we need to do something else to become comfortable in devotional service, and just to realize that, yeah, we, if we just stick to the principles of purity and follow your example, then we can all actually realize it's very cool. It's very cool to be a Vaishnava, and it's very nice, Maharaj, to be one of your disciples and trying to follow in your footsteps, and I hope this I can stick around for a couple of more years, and maybe if I'm fortunate to make this Krishna consciousness a lifelong endeavor. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. I'm listening to everyone saying such wonderful things about you.
I'm going to show the other side of the coin then. That's good. Keep it balanced.
You're always going to need to try to balance my life. Unfortunately, I'm not very well verbalizing what is within my heart, so I'll keep it very short. I'd like to thank you very much for allowing me to try to serve you. I'm thinking every time I get the opportunity or every time some devotee is asking me to do something for you or you are personally asking me to do something for you, to polish or to do something for Giriraj, Govinda, that it makes me very happy. Some of the happiest moments my life was actually serving you, so that is very important for me, so I'd like to thank you for that.
So I hope you don't mind that I'm not introducing you. I just feel I'm speaking more than you. So,
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I was also just sitting here listening to everyone's personal offerings to you, and I've written something down, but I was thinking of something else. Yeah, I remember also with Maharaj in Stellenbosch, and I just recently read about the spiritual master and everything, and I remember when I first met devotees, Hari Vilas Prabhu made me this DVD with kirtans and lectures and everything of different gurus, and somehow or other I was just naturally attracted to your lectures. So when I eventually met you, I realized, oh, this is the person I've been listening to. And I just read up on the spiritual master, and I was really naive, still am. And I was thinking, oh, I think this is what spiritual was. So I'd never spoken to Maharaj or anything, and I remember just going to you and being like, oh, I want to be your disciple, and you just laughed at me. But yeah, I didn't feel like ridiculed or anything. You were just like, okay, we can try and like develop some form of relationship before we get there. And I was, I was just thinking how Maharaj just tolerates everything about me, the tears included. And I still just want to read what I wrote. It's not pretty much, but just a lot. So, here goes nothing. Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Of course, to Sri Prabhupada, of course, to Jaya Sasami, of course, to you. At times like today, I am reminded of my limitations, especially when it comes to glorifying Maharaj's wonderful qualities. But when thinking about the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple, I'm reminded of when one of our BYU students in Stellenbosch asked Maharaj about the nature of the relationship between a guru and a disciple. And Maharaj said that it's important to be friends, and that with friendship comes a lot of honesty and transparency. And I really appreciated that answer because I wasn't expecting anything along those lines, but Maharaj just has that natural propensity to just make everything really simple. So I'd like to thank you, Maharaj, for being a wonderful friend and inspiring me with your dedication to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission and believing in me more than I do in myself at times. And even though this friendship is very important to me, I pray that I'll never take the guru-disciple relationship as just some mundane relationship, but will treasure it life after life, and that I may one day be of service to Maharaj.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Jayadvaita Maharaj, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to you. I have a little gift coming on the way, so I thought to read a little bit of background about why I've chosen this gift. I'm going to try to read very quickly, so I don't take that too much time. I was introduced to Krishna consciousness as a child by my parents and practiced up until my teen years, where I left the movement to understand practically what I thought it was I was missing out on, and ventured into the controversially taboo clutches of Maya for a good decade or more. During this decade, I never met any devotees who would only remember Krishna if I was in some serious danger. Funny enough, he always responded despite my adamant absence. The first time I met any form of devotee again was a couple of months before meeting His Holiness Kadambakanaya Swami Maharaj. I met Madan Gopal Prabhu, a disciple of Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, doing book distribution in Clew Street. Although I never took a book from Madan Gopal, I agreed to visit the temple, which I did about 2 weeks later. I had a very emotional experience at the temple, but I left without much conviction that I would start seriously practicing again, and was still pretty set in my views against organized religion. My mind was still filled with doubts and conditioning that had cemented itself around my heart for a decade, which is pretty thick and stubborn. In September 2010, while standing outside the Nedbank ATM in St. George's Mall, I was approached by a random African man who, for apparently no reason at all, asked me whether I was a Hare Krishna. I was pretty taken aback because I wasn't wearing anything to suggest that I was a devotee. A bit gobsmacked, I just replied, "Why are you asking? I really couldn't understand." And the man just said, "Do you not understand the question?" And because I was so freaked out, I just actually ran away. Three months later, on the 21st of December 2010, I visited my mother's house after work, and she requested me to place an advert in the newspaper for downtown on my way home. I was very tired that day and in a particularly bad mood, so I vehemently protested. My mother wouldn't hear of it and practically begged me to go. So I walked all the way, hoping to let off some steam. And as I turned the corner into St. George's Mall, there he was, the bright orange beacon of light that literally dissipated the clouds of the mood that I was feeling. I never had much chance to think about what I was doing, but all I remember is that I walked straight up to him without hesitating and tapped him on the elbow, which I'm really sorry for. And he turned around and said, "Hare Krishna," and then turned back to speak to the person who he was really speaking to. So I went into the newspaper house and lingered by the glass window, looking out at Maharaj, wondering what the heck I just did that for. And hoping he wouldn't be there when I got out again in case he tried to preach to me. I placed my mother's ad, and as I walked through the Turning doors, my eyes immediately surveyed the area, and I was relieved to see he wasn't anywhere in sight. Or so I thought. A mere few steps down the road, I heard a call in from behind. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! I turned around, and Maharaj was standing there, book bag on his shoulder, smiling at me from under his cap. We had a brief discussion, and I asked Maharaj how temple life was, and if he lived in the Rondebosch temple, mistaking him for just an ordinary brahmacharya distributing books. He told me that he doesn't stay there and that he travels around and teaches. Like a guru type of thing, I asked. In a very humble mood and not giving a thing away about who he really was, he said, like a guru type of thing. Maharaj then offered me a chant and be happy book, for which, after a gentle prompt, I bashfully offered the few coins of change from the advert in return. The book laid on my round glass table at home for a long time with George Harrison, John Lennon, and our beloved Srila Prabhupada, staring at me, prompting me to take the good advice the title had to offer. I thought a lot about it and pretty much ended at thinking. I can't tell you exactly what changed and exactly where it all started. My mother gave me an old set of japa from the cupboard and I sat on the beach and tried it out. I remember it being really difficult and I must have sounded really strained or looked distressed, because a surfer actually walked up to me while I was chanting and asked if I was okay. I guess I still had a lot of resistance going on. When I eventually opened the Chant and Be Happy book and read the web address that Maharaj had written on the inside, I had to go Google this web address and slowly started to realize that I'd met much more than a guru type of thing. It didn't fully dawn on me. It was only when people started giving reactions to the story of meeting you that the penny started to drop, and definitely after hearing the first Bhagavatam class that I heard of yours. Somehow or the other, Krishna had sent so many devotees to try wake me up, and when he saw I wasn't getting it, he never gave up. Instead, he bestowed the greatest blessing on the greatest fool. He sent me his personal representative in the guise of a book distributing brahmachari. He sent me a paramahamsa. He sent me a self-realized soul to personally dissipate the dark fog of ignorance that was clouding my vision. Looking back, what really stands out about the whole situation is Kadambu Kanana Swami's, is your sincere humility. A sannyasi on book distribution, that is humility. Humility and sincerity in serving Srila Prabhupada. All too often we hear that to please Krishna, we must please his devotee, and that Srila Prabhupada, being Krishna's pure devotee, is most pleased with the distribution of his books. That book was the key. That book sat on my table as a constant reminder, beckoning me to heed the call. That book was a manifestation of pure mercy, which I always treasure and for which I am eternally grateful beyond words. All glories to the many servants of the Lord who reached out to this fallen soul. All glories to my saving grace, His Holiness, that I'm becoming this morning. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
The gift is here. Okay. The gift, huh? Wow.
Sure. So, I don't know, I caught the end of the conversation in Durban where you were saying we shouldn't bring out the tigers. So I made a joke with Jackie, she was a baby tiger. And it's not the case. And I'm sorry, Maharaj, that the gift is not actually for you, but it's for your pleasure. I hope you'll be satisfied. In that, on Sunday, Giri is going to take initiation, so I decided that
Oh, it's heavier.
Bricks. Oh, what do you think it is?
Bricks or what?
Bricks.
Lead? It's heavy.
It's heavy,
mostly. Books, heavy. Huh? You want me to distribute them?
I was hoping that Giri could maybe distribute them after he was initiated. I'm sorry about the
No, it's confusion. Good. Great.
And so it's 108 books for your pleasure. Sure. But I hope, because I'm, like Raghunaka said, you know, this 8-to-5 job, there's not much time. I'm trying to slip them through the cracks as much as I can. But so I thought that maybe... I could do it this way.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And then I'm sorry to take a little bit more time, but I wrote a little poem. I know they get calling, so I'm hoping that's not all okay. But Mary tried to encourage me. She said in, I think it's Canto 4, Chapter 9 of the Bhagavad Gita, Dhruva Maharaj, just trying to give some prayers, and I feel a bit like that. Like, so I hope the crunch was there. Dear Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances. Your surrender to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada is hard to beat. Who else do you know who travels the globe, saving souls wherever he goes? Who else do you know who took on the task of a most majestic samadhi so that we may bask in the glorious glow of Prabhupada, our saving grace? Bask in the glorious glow of Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the most sacred space, ISKCON, our exit from the samsara of the sense gratification rat race, ISKCON, our entrance to our rightful place, serving the lotus feet of the Lord face to face. Maharaj, your inspiration is the spark that lights the fuse in our hearts and brings light to our eyes which otherwise would be dark. Your love for the Lord is a beacon of light which guides us through the blackest of nights. Your faith is the nourishing drive of which our flourishing faith thrives. With our heart heavily indebted with eternal gratitude, thank you, dear Gurudev, for your ceaseless fortitude in taking us conditioned souls back home, back to Godhead. And although my words may fail me, I pray enough's been said to let you know how grateful I am for the light that you share, to let you know how grateful I am for the love of God that you spread, for the love of God that you spread. Om Agyana Teminanda Siyakinanjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Militanyana Tasmashi Guru Panama.
Thank you very, very much. Yeah, quite something.